For the last several months, I've been having a very strong reaction to the word certainty. I see it everywhere in spiritual and religious practice. We all hunger for it. We all want to believe in something that is absolute and stable and knowable. And every time I think I have found it, it evaporates. You kind of find it in so many spiritual and religious circles, this idea that this is how it is. This is the truth. And for most people, the hunger for certainty is a kind of entrapment. What I'm really trying to get at is that nothing you know is fixed. Nothing you know is locked in. I don't care how hard won the knowledge that you have is. It's part of a universe that is impermanent. So even if this certainty that you have, this is the way, this is the door to truth, this is how it is, whatever knowledge you have, whatever credentials it has going along with it, no matter how high those credentials are in the world that we live in, you have to understand that those credentials are all part of this very transitory and ephemeral reality that we live in. How can you have certainty in a foundation that's always shifting? How can there be an absolute in a world of impermanence? The only thing you can hope for, really, in your spiritual practice is to find that which is not permanent. I'll put that another way. The only thing you can hope for in a world of impermanence is something that appears to have the appearance of permanence. I don't mean to make this obscure, but everything you know, everything you feel, everything you experience in the world is experienced from a place of not knowing. Every time I think I have the answer, every time I think, ah, now I have it, every time I go into the deepest part of my psyche, the ground gets pulled out from underneath me. Every time I think I know the truth, it doesn't hold up. So, everything I teach you here is predicated on the idea that it is my truth, not the truth. That it's what my experience tells me, and the ground of my experience shifts. So, I can't tell you anything is absolutely true. I can't tell you anything is the thing you're reaching for. Because every time I think I have it, it evaporates. And I don't care how deeply one has gone into the core. It's all part of the dreamscape, if you will, of this lifetime. In a sense, one has to be willing to endlessly give up the truth, give up knowing, give up the absolute awareness that one is promised in this spiritual journey. I don't think anyone wants to hear this, honestly, but I feel very compelled to say it. It's really essential that the only certainty that you allow yourself is your own certainty, with the understanding that you don't hold it, that it has temporary validity. The only measure of the absolute truth you're seeking is the existential truth of the moment you're in, period. When you meditate and you become very still and you allow yourself to enter the depth of your being, you will discover layer upon layer upon layer of profound insight. Each one of these insights will be larger than the one that preceded it, will be truer than the one that preceded it, and each one will seduce you into wanting to make it the absolute. Each revelation will be so much bigger and more profound than what you knew before, that you will finally go, aha. I caution you not to hold on to that. Not to hold on to anything. Every truth has within it a kind of manifested aspect that cannot survive ultimate non-manifestation. I don't know if that makes sense. But every truth that you hold on to and every truth you have come to accept as being ultimate, Christ's truth, Buddha's truth, Moses' truth, God's truth, all of these things that you're holding on to as the truth are part and parcel of the dreamscape that we are all in. How does one get to a truth or a foundational space that is unchangeable? Every awakened being that I have spoken with or I have read about or whose preachings I have listened to all talk about the unchangeable truth. The totality, the absolute. And, bless you, these are very attractive ideas. Perhaps they're very attractive states of being. The only thing I can say to you is don't buy that on faith. Don't buy it because somebody else told you it's there. Don't buy the absolute because somewhere in meditation you tasted something very blissful and sweet. Because somewhere in meditation something came to you and said, this is it. The journey to it is exceedingly personal. The journey to truth, to the unchangeable, to the absolute, is not different than what it takes to climb to the top of Mount Everest, or to skydive, or any of these extreme sports that we talk about. You can watch people jump off a bridge, dive out of an airplane, climb the tallest mountain, but you cannot know their journey unless you have jumped out of an airplane. Tossed yourself into the abyss of being. And the metaphor weakens because those are all worldly experiences, and every one of those experiences comes with the resolution that you're still here in this world. But what's so powerful about people who make those journeys, who reach for the ultimate, who go for the final truth, is how singular those people are, how driven they are, how hungry they are, how essential these experiences are to them. Real spiritual growth and meditation is not unlike extreme sport. It is a kind of pushing yourself to move through the barriers that separate us from fear, that separate us from restriction, to move past the very things that hold us in check, that keep our knowledge limited. You have to go on this very, very risky journey with the drive and the power and the instinct and the hunger of somebody who pushes the envelope in any form of life. Spiritual journey, we're sitting here meditating, and in a way it's so cozy. It's like, ah, oh, there's the truth. No, it's not like that. It's won. It's hard won. It's hard won through your life, through your living, through pushing through and not going, ah, I have it. Ah, I am walking truth. It's so much deeper than that. It so requires a kind of constancy of living in the moment, of reaching for what this is, of being this, of having the courage to be here, of having the courage to be in what is going on, not in what you wish was going on, or what shouldn't have taken place a billion years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 minutes ago. It's being right in this, the incredible energy and effort of being true to the depth of this very second. That's what it takes. It takes such commitment, such absolute hunger for what is real. Not what was real last hour, an hour ago, or what is might be real tomorrow, or what feels real now, but to be present and to watch this thing unfold and unfold and unfold and take away everything you knew, take away everything you believed in, to take away all the truth you ever built into something that you could worship and appreciate. All of that has to go. It has to go. But what is there? Well, the only way to find out is to be courageous enough to be right here. Right here, without a net, as they say. To just be in this present tense, to be alive to all the stuff that rises up. And what's going to rise up is beyond your expectation. I find that I am continually challenged by the stuff that comes. I have been open to and aware of my lack of knowing. So many people in the awakened community have this unbelievable authority that I love to watch and hear of they have it. They are the answer. They are the truth. And it's really kind of wonderful. It makes you feel a certain security. I can only tell you from deep honesty, and maybe offer you a reason not to listen to me talk anymore, which is that that ground of absolute truth has no stability. It's big, it's vast, it's absolutely wondrous in many ways and beautiful, but it is only part of my bodily incarnated awareness. every time I think I have it, something says, nope, nope. And it's kind of what Rudy would say. It was kind of go deeper. But it's not like you have to go deeper. It's not like you have to do anything. You just have to really show up. You have to be willing to dive off the cliff. You have to be willing to give up everything you know as real and true and beautiful and special and just go. And then what happens? This is really interesting. The moments begin to speak to you. Every moment. Every moment speaks to you with an aliveness that is shockingly powerful. Every moment is cosmologically awake and aware. Every moment is instructive. Every moment has within it the beginning of the universe and the end of the universe. Every moment has a preciousness that is inconceivable. And it doesn't come laden with a, this is it. It becomes laden with, it can't be defined. It can't be labeled. It can't be put in a bottle. It just is. It just is. And whatever that is, it has a multidimensionality to it. It's not of three dimensions. It's not of four dimensions. It's not of five dimensions. If there are infinite dimensions, and I suspect there are, your moment, this moment, is made up of that. Everything that's logical and rational and makes sense, forget it. It only works in the confines of what you know and understand as your life. But trust me, you are impinged upon by such massive and minute forces that are so potent and so gentle and so sweet and so sorrowful and so beautiful and so ugly, so full of love and so full of evil. It's this unbelievable melange of stuff, and it's what you are. It's what we are. We are these separate and collective singularities. We are something so beyond anything the mind can generate. Everything the mind tells you is the mind. Just understand that. It's the mind. It has its own agenda. It will tell you what it wants to tell you. It will give you pictures that you can get. And I'm telling you, that's all great. It's all part of it. But there's something so much beyond that. And every time I try to get a handle on it or figure I got it, it laughs at me. It just laughs at me. Because that's not it. The fact that you have it, you don't have it. You can't have it. But you can be it. In fact, you cannot not be it. Show me a way not to be it. Here we are. Here we are. This is so unbelievably remarkable. Here we are. I don't even know how to impress upon anybody what that means, that we are, period. And who has a clue to what this means? Who has a clue? You can tell me you do. People send me these things that people have written about what this is and how we know what it is, and their diagnostics of spiritual achievement and attainment and how this the system plays out. Yeah, sure, but it's not true. It's all absolutely right, but it's not true. And what is true, who knows? Einstein couldn't figure it out. You know, we can land on comets, you know, 300 billion miles away or whatever, million miles away, and which is amazing. We have all these great skills and capacities, But we still don't know what we are, who we are, why this happens. What is it? And like I said, I think in my talk last week, I don't think there's any answers. And so trying to get an answer that fulfills all of this is very, very fraught with lies, basically, because it's just an answer that this human conceptual mind is able to go, ah, but no, we're not just that. We're not just that. And finding out what you are is a journey, is an amazing journey. And I think people like Christ and Buddha and on, the great awakened souls, I think they do know. I think they do know. I think occasionally that I know. I even think that you know. I just don't think you know it in a way that can be contained by this tiny little human mind that needs to be here, that needs to function, it seems, for whatever this miraculous creation is. How to explain it? How to walk around with this smug feeling of, I get it. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I will tell you, the hunger and pursuit of this amazing miracle of being seems to me to be the most worthy thing that can happen to a human being. To not walk around in life with some kind of certainty, some sense of, well, this is what it is. This is how it is. Oh, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Or you know, if I meditate every day, I will become awake and enlightened. Or, you know, when I graduate from high school, I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to get a great job, and I'm going to have a marriage, and I'm going to have children, and I'm going to have all these things, and I'm going to build this whole world, and it's going to bring me a great deal of happiness and bliss. It actually may. It may actually play out that way. But, what is this that's playing out? What is this bizarre, amazing, horrifying, majestic experience that we're all having? You don't need to have the answer as much as you need to feel your way into the question. To sit still once a day or more, maybe all day at some point, and just go, wow, 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 wow. And you don't even know why you go, wow. You just go, wow, I'm okay. I mean, looking at some flowers here. I mean, if you live in Marin County, how can you not go wow on a regular basis? But also, if you live in New York City, if you live in, you know, if you, it doesn't matter where you are, if your eyes are open, there's a wow that's possible. And if you're walking through life going, but I didn't get that job, or I never won that award, or nobody recognized me, or all the stuff that gets wrapped up in the ego construct of our being, you know, that suffering that people go through is so absurd and so self-inflicted. And getting people out of that, which is what we seem to be trying to do with helping people in life. Helping means to get them out of their suffering and their drama and their illusions. But what does it reveal? What does it get you to? Well, I hate to tell you this, but it takes you out of personal drama and suffering into universal drama and suffering. And all of the stuff that goes along with being a universal entity. Becoming a universal entity, which I think is kind of, in one of the ways, a goal of spiritual practice, to become one with all that is, doesn't mean you're free of being all that is. It doesn't mean that you're not part of what's happening in the news, in the world of drama. You're that. You are that. You're the entirety of that. And what is that? Why are people beheading people in the Middle East? Why are people killing elephants and gorillas? Why the drama of our daily life? I mean, you turn the news on and it's so unpleasant. And yet, you can't spiritually meditate your way out of that. What happens when you meditate and you finally awaken is you realize you are that. That story is you. That's what we are. And we have no clue to why we're that. We are the most beatific, saintly quality of human experience, and we are the ugliest part of human experience. We are the very world that we are living in. We are the totality of that world. And what is it? And I think that's the beginning of this Herculean, amazing task, if you will, this extreme sport of saying, I need to be at the pinnacle of this truth. I need to get this. I need to dive off the diving board. I need to make this journey into the core of being because I am the living question. I am the living pursuit of this unbelievable thing that I don't understand and none of us understands. None of us. And when we find those teachers, those Einsteins and those Buddhas who come back and tell you they have either the secret or a glimmer of the secret, it's so attractive. It's so powerful because you want to figure that, I mean, how can there be a universe of multi-dimensions all happening at the same time? How can that happen? What does that mean? What does it mean that you can wake up to all this? What does it mean that you can be liberated? And what are you liberated from? And how do you get there? And is that the path of every human being? Is every one of us simply in a dream trying to wake up? I can't give you the answer to that, but you should be asking yourself that question. Oh, shit is the wrong word. At some point, you will be compelled to answer that question because the dream will have failed to satisfy. There comes a point where you win the Oscar, have the family, have the grandchildren, have everything that life has to offer, have so much satisfaction, and it doesn't answer the question. It doesn't answer it. So the question remains in such profound immediacy and intimacy, what is this? What is this? And even though so much has been offered me, in a way, this Bruce guy, in terms of awareness, the journey is not over. Rudy used to say, you mentioned it last week, it's not over till you're dead. You know, and there's some truth to that. It's not over till you're dead. But somehow you're still here, and there's so much opportunity for something to come out of this being in this and awake to what it is now. That is like unbelievable, because most people are sleeping through the whole experience. This whole life, this whole wondrous thing is going on, and they're going, you know, what's on TV tomorrow? You know, keep my brain as dead as you can make it. I don't want to know. I don't want to feel these things. Give me pills to get me out of this experience of being here. What is that about? I cannot tell you. I'm not on that ride. I'm on this strange ride that's digging like mad to get to the top of the mountain. And I don't even know why I'm driven like that, except that it's so full of amazement. It's so wow. It's so extraordinary. And why isn't everybody hungry for this? Well, partly because it's so scary. It's so scary. And we're taught fear very early on. You know, my granddaughter, I hate watching these fears emerge in her, but that's what they do. They emerge in us. We all have these unbelievable fears, that biological fears, you know, pain, fear of hunger, fear of exposure. I mean, one thing after another after another. Buddha sat under that Bo tree and he worked through that stuff, so they say. And he came out of it basically saying, it's not what you think it is. It doesn't have the reality that you think it has. It's something you bring to the equation. That there's a way out of this delusion. But, you know, he was still in a body. And he still had to live. And he would go preaching to his friends, and they would go, who are you? Why should we listen to you? You're the same guy you were before you sat under that tree, as far as we can tell. But not to Buddha. Buddha had something had transformed. And that transformation is either absolute and 100% awareness and freedom and liberation, or it's not. Because he still had a body. He still had to go through what I call hemorrhoids. And God knows what else he had to deal with. Plus, he had to biologically cease to exist at some point and face the abyss, just like every one of us is going to do. So I don't think his journey was necessarily over. I think he had a clarity of perspective that is hard won and beautiful, but it's still unfolding. And that's what I'm trying to say. It's still happening. Just when you get there, there's no there, because it keeps happening until it doesn't. Even if you become aware of the space in which all this happens, and even if you discover you are the space in which all this happens, which is one of the great powers of awakening, how do you know? How do you trust that? I love the guys who do. And I have to say, in a way, I wish I could do that. On the other hand, I am seeing that everything I know, even beyond the illusion, is still perceived by a mind or a being that's still incorporeal. Is that a right word? Incorporated. Still in a body. Look, this has been on my mind a lot, and I've had to get it off my mind. So here I, that's what this talk is about. It seems fundamental to me on some level. I'm not trying to discourage you from the pursuit of truth. I'm trying to help you understand that the pursuit is everything. It's everything. Rudy used to talk about, don't become a professional seeker, you have to find. And one of the things you do find in a certain sense is that you are done seeking. But being done seeking doesn't mean that you have all the answers. It just means that there's no one to get the answer. There's nobody to get it. The answer is unfolding in its own way as a constancy of truth. There's no one who's going to get it. You are it. You will be it. You will live it. And it will be the great and unfolding mystery of existence. And there will be great satisfaction in knowing somehow you are part of that mystery. This has got to be very frustrating to people who are trying to get it. And to tell people who meditate for 40 years that it will finally reveal itself in some concrete way. I can only tell you that you will be surprised by what is revealed. And I don't think that surprise will ever go away. And is it worth it? From where I sit, worth it or not, there is nothing else but this journey. There's nothing else. And from my perspective, it still contains wow. So, this may be a very odd talk from many perspectives. And I can only tell you I was compelled to give it. Forgive me if it doesn't satisfy the kinds of things that people often want to hear in an inspirational and spiritual talk. Because I, because boy oh boy, the unknown is the unknown, and we're all in it. And it's called the unknown for a reason. Any questions that come out of this, or is this way too abstract?
Don't worry, I'm not going to read all this. But when you were saying there's always something, it's like everything you do is more work. And you just go, when does it end? And I can coast and just be who I am. And there's, this is what Rudy did. Rudy wanted the spiritual and the physical, and there's this line I read in a shamanic book: there is a quality of attention to normal life that is so loving and intimate it is almost worship. Assimilate knowledge and stay grounded. And Rudy, I took notes from some books, but Rudy said, you're building a structure. It can be a great structure that stretches from earth to heaven. But the higher it goes, the sounder the foundation must be. Everything is important, the everyday and the extraordinary. The everyday is the foundation for the extraordinary. Build a mechanism in the psyche to allow one to live the spiritual and the physical. And I can see a way of living the spiritual and the physical where I don't ask those questions anymore.
Let me tell you one other thing Rudy said to that, because it's very important. I forgot about it until just now. He said, when you build the structure of your life and the structure of your spiritual life, be sure to put dynamite on every floor. So when the time comes, you can blow up the entire structure. And that's really important. And everything you're saying, those are beautiful words, and I'm very happy to hear them. I'm going to talk to you later about your need to type them up and bring them to the class. But in effect, those were very relevant to what I'm saying. And I love that Rudy said all that, because there's a reason I studied with Rudy. The reason I studied with Rudy was because he understood that this was that this world is your spiritual life, that it reaches to the heights and the depths of all there is. And there's no other access point to it but this. So many people want to leave this world behind in order to have a spiritual life, to go into a cave, to somehow feel they don't have to live, they don't have to be responsible to wives and children and God knows what else. I mean, I met a couple, a family in India when I was young, when I was traveling, whose mother had left them all to go live in an ashram, and they were so bereft. This was several years after she had gone. They couldn't understand. I looked at that and I said, well, what was this about? How do you leave your family and things behind in order to have your spiritual life? They're so wrong-headed for me. And when I met Rudy, I got that he married those together. And everything I'm talking about is that. But I'm talking about it when you get to 50 years into this practice. And you realize everything he's saying is true, but now it's like bigger than you ever imagined, and you still have to have that dynamite in every floor that you construct, because it's all going to go in the end. And what will be left, maybe nothing, maybe everything. You know, it's so multidimensional, it probably goes on forever in a million ways we can't even begin to comprehend. All we know is we are the door to the ineffable. We are that. We are that right now. We are the living testament to truth and being. It's like, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary beyond understanding. And people are searching for spiritual, and then you can add anything you want to that, but it's their prescription for it. I want this from spirituality. I want freedom from fear. I want no more stress. I want to have, you know, deep insights into the infinite nature of the universe. All these things you want from spirituality. What you get is how to say hello to a person and mean it, how to say I love you, how to touch somebody. You can get all the rest, but that's at the core, the simple, simple day-to-day stuff. The core of the mandala is often the way Rudy talked about it. So many people are so good in relating to people 5 meters away or 5,000 yards away, but what people in front of them they can't talk to. They can't have a relationship with the things that are closest to them. That's not a spiritual life. And Rudy was really dynamically insistent on that. This is it. It's got to work from the core out. Or as I've often put it, and I think Rudy put it this way as well, if it's in front of you, it's yours. That's really important. So, you know, I came to Rudy, we all came to Rudy as kind of neophytes and like, you know, tiptoeing our way into a spiritual life, not knowing how powerful and dynamic it really was, except for the fact that Rudy was powerful and dynamic. He had that. And I kind of wanted that, but I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I wanted it as power and dynamism. But in fact, it's the loss of individual need for that that finally allows that to manifest. The fact that you want it becomes a real problem. The teachers who own that dynamism and have ego relationships to it are dangerous. They're real problems in this world. The people who let go of that, who finally are blown away from that ownership, have a dynamism that's shocking and real. And that's what Rudy had. I used to walk down the street with Rudy. I mean, I could barely breathe. You know, he would hold my hand, and I was always a little embarrassed, but on the other hand, it was like, oh my God. And we would walk down Broadway, you know, together, and I felt I could barely touch the floor because his dynamism, his energy, his power was so great. But I was also aware at the end of his life, there was no Rudy there. I was like walking with God, if you want to put it that way. But even God is part of this construct of mind. It's something if there's an idea of God within life, then it's manifested by life itself. Getting outside the envelope, who knows? Go out there and see what that is. Rudy seemed to touch something beyond God, beyond anything we understand, and all of us have a door to that. All of us are available to that. And all you have to do is take this on in a serious way and you are the creator of the universe. That's really what you come to. You are the creator of the universe. But who are you? Who are you that's creating this? What is that? It's not you personally, because the personal thing goes away. Who are you that is this? I mean, there's kind of intimations, and maybe there are those who really do kind of know it. I often think I do know it. But then, I don't know it. It's okay. It's okay. There's nobody that needs to own anything. It is what it is. I'm going to only repeat myself, and everything you said about and Rudy's lines just now that you quoted are wonderful. You know, look, we're all on this driving, gorgeous journey into the remarkable mystery of what we are. And what greater hunger is there than that? What do you think my granddaughter's trying to figure out as she's growing up in this world? What do you think she's reaching for? You know, I mean, she may end up just reaching for a good career and having some kids that she enjoys having. I mean, who knows what people are reaching for? But our sights get smaller and smaller until you realize there's got to be more than that, and then you start the search. And there is more than that, only there's more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And then it's like, aha, wow, wow, we are in something unbelievably major here. This is not just, oh, it's life. It's life. It's life. It's real. I mean, look, I can talk. Until this breaks through for you, until it gets into your psyche, until it gets into your heart, until you put yourself on this journey, it's not going to mean anything. You know, if you come here sitting for me to give it to you, I can't give it to you, but I might inspire you to do this thing. What is this thing? Just ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock. knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's what it is. Begin it. It'll give you an amazing life. Amazing life. Okay. Whew. Thank you, guys. As always, it's just, like I say, I can't sit and do this. I can't do these talks to an empty room. I mean, I could, but it doesn't have the same energy. You guys are the vehicle through which this occurs. And for me, it seems to be worth occurring. Maybe not to you or anybody else, but it seems to want to come out. And I thank you for making it possible. Lots of love.